The following is a meeting with disciples with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on December 6, 1992 in Vrindavan.
One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Report. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhadev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so arjuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vachi tatvata. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhadev's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord, because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhosi, tadasi, yat yat tapasya sakontaya, tat karusha madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas were performing sacrifices, who were performing sacrifices, gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janani Nasasyat. The word Daivam indicates a demigod, or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative, but here Rishabhadev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharani Nirvishesha Sanya Bhari Pustatari Satarani. I chose this verse for today, not wanting to discuss it in a personal way. The implications are already there, that we are doing worship of the Guru and he has to actually be bona fide. But just to see what the actual position is, what is the nature of this relationship, Guru and disciple. In this case, the duties of the guru are described, the responsibility. But implied here also is the responsibility of the disciple, or what the disciple should be expecting from the spiritual master. So here we have cases of very sincere devotees who rejected their superiors. Because these persons were all very qualified and they wanted liberation or going back to Godhead, so that one has to be qualified as a disciple or a subordinate Pali Maharaj might have thought, I shall do what Shukracharya says, he's a good guru. By him I get so much material wealth. And similarly, the wives of the brahmanas could have seen things that way. But they were very qualified. So whether we think of the guru, one who's performing that service and accepting that worship, either from his point of view or the disciples, the relationship is for getting free from birth and death. So it doesn't have to do just with this material temporary world. It's not like having a guide or a relationship for betterment of the temporary existence to increase happiness and peace and so on. It has to do with eternal goal, uttama gati, the final goal. Spiritual life can be divided into sambandha avideya prayojana, learning about your relationship with God, engaging in relationship with Him, and reaching the goal of love of God. So it's this path that we go over under the guidance of the spiritual master. And he has to be competent to take us. So, although the verse just speaks of freedom from birth and death, just in case anyone is unclear what how to do that, Prabhupada says, one can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. It's not by some impersonal liberation idea, by meditation or some severe practices. You could get rid of all your anartas. In fact, just by the shadow chanting of the holy name, all reactions to sins are removed. But unless you have the positive development of attraction to Krishna, janma karma chame divyam, knowing Krishna in truth, then you cannot escape back to Godhead. You cannot escape coming back to the material world. I heard Prabhupada saying in a lecture that the impersonalists who actually attain the Brahma Jyoti, that there is every chance that they will come back to the material world. And then he corrected himself and said, why chance? They must come back. So freedom from birth and death is in Krishna consciousness. So the spiritual master himself has to save himself and stop his birth and death and guide disciples on that path. Then ceremonies like this, if this is at the heart of our practice to honor the spiritual master, the disciples, they like to do this. They like to worship the spiritual master. They feel satisfaction that by doing this they're satisfying Krishna and pleasing their spiritual master and expressing gratefulness for the gifts they already feel they have received and guidance. And the spiritual master, he may take some personal satisfaction, not in the gross sense that I'm a worshipable person, but that my disciples are nice, they are performing this Vyas Pooj nicely and affectionately. So those are human feelings. But at the heart of it must be this conviction and confidence that we are going back to home, back to Godhead by this path and by this guidance. We're not going to hell or plunging ourselves into the ocean of reproachment for unlawful activities. In the name of this guru-disciple relationship, so many abominable and unlawful activities have taken place. India is the hatching ground of all that's best in spiritual life, but also so many anomalies. Gurus who misbehave in every way, morally, legally, and certainly spiritually. So this is what's called plunging yourself into the ocean of reproachment. But when it is done properly, then it is all auspicious. I wanted to turn to another verse in Lord Vrishabhadeva's teachings connected with this relationship. And he gives it a little earlier. He says to his sons, if one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen, who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. So this verse indicates that the disciples are sometimes slow and unwilling to act in the best way for going back to Godhead. The other verse, although stated in a negative way, that you should not become a guru unless you can free them, emphasized the real business that one is engaged in the guru-disciple relationship. But the disciples may be very slow to pick that up. So the guru then, he may become angry with them that they can't even follow the regular principles. They don't have any symptoms of even the first stages of devotional service, so many things. But he's warned, not don't do this. Don't give up on them. You may have to be very clever to find a means for them to engage themselves on the lower platform and be patient with them and always try to give them devotional service, dovetailing their whatever propensities they have and sentiments they have in devotional service. On the other hand, the guru is advised, don't engage them in fruitive activities. Well, that won't do any good if you engage them in karmic activities. So sometimes so-called gurus do this also. Both verses indicate a long-term responsibility for the spiritual master to try to help his disciples to develop and realistically seeing how they may not be so serious. But he has to find the means, as the verse says. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. And now I have another last verse to read. And this is appreciation of the spiritual master by a great disciple appreciating a great spiritual master. And in his purport, Prabhupada helps us understand the necessity for following the spiritual master in spiritual life. Not just in an official way, but truly as your way to approach Krishna. Evam janam nipatitam prabhava hi kupe kama bikamam anuyap papatan pasangat kritvat masat surasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nu visvijay tapavritti sevam. My dear Lord, actually this is Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to Nrisingadev, but he's speaking about his spiritual master. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Purport. As will be seen in later verses, although Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. So if we could have any boon we wanted from the Lord, what would we ask? We see in a number of places in Srimad Bhagavatam, staunch devotees who are given this opportunity by the Lord, and they ask for service of the Vaishnavas or service of the spiritual master. This is the safest kind of prayer to make. We shouldn't be so overconfident that, yes, I've gotten some help from my spiritual master in this life, and now I'll probably go back to Godhead cheaply, thinking that it's so easy to attain. But I may, very likely, I'll have to come back again. So I just want to always be engaged in the service of this, my spiritual master. This is the... So if you make this request of Krishna and he fulfills it, then you're getting Krishna's direct association in the best way. And the spiritual master stays with us in this material world and also in the spiritual world in the eternal relationship with Krishna. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janame Hai E Avilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudas. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, direct approach idea is a concoction. It's not in any scriptures. So many times when we have public gatherings, some outsider will ask, is a spiritual master really necessary? Well, this is a concocted idea that without spiritual master you can approach God. In Vedic culture, this is so deeply realized that even ordinary people understand, and they tend to have some guru, even if the guru isn't qualified, it's just a family guru, and they honor gurus because they understand you cannot go to God directly. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. So he said, Soham Katam Nu Visvajay Tavavrityasevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? This is a nice line, sort of poetic, or you could even appears to be like a, we call a rhetorical question. How could I leave his service? But actually that question comes up in the life of a struggling sadhak, that he may think of leaving the service of the spiritual master. When we think of any kind of engaging in maya or sinful activity, or when we commit any offense, Vaishnava aparad and so many aparads, the spiritual master is always instructing us, don't do these things. So when we do them, we're leaving his service. And then everything is dangerous for us. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. So it's like he raises the question, meaning that it's unthinkable by him. How could I leave his service? And I am not such an ingrate because he has saved me. I know what I was and where I was falling and how he saved me. So how he continues to instruct me to achieve the transcendental position, whereby I'm able to see you face to face. Even at that point, you might think, now that he's seen the Sringadeva, now is not the time to remember the person who helped him before, Narada. Now I am as good as Narada. I've got direct darshan. But he wants Nrisingadeva to understand how Prahlada is an object of mercy. Otherwise, where would he be? One thinks like that. Even if you, by taking to the process, become purified, make some advancement, but where would you have been? You wouldn't have known what is Krishna or anything, except by coming into contact with the spiritual master and this movement. Certainly that's our position, all of us. And that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has so compassionately done this by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So at no stage should we think of leaving His service. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlada Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So these are some conclusions appropriate for the day, and appropriate any time. The spiritual master must feel the weight of the responsibility he has to deliver disciples, or not engage them in this kind of relationship of service. He should be patient when they are slow, and should find a way to engage them in devotional service. They should understand the grave meaning of their relationship to free themselves. It's not selfish. If you free yourself from Maya and attain love of Krishna, then that's the best service to your spiritual master, as Prabhupada said about him and his spiritual master, that my Guru Maharaj said, if one soul could become a pure devotee, I would consider all my missionary activities and all the temples and all the work a success. So save yourself, become a devotee as a service to the spiritual master. And thinking always how I was so fallen and have these fallen tendencies, but my spiritual master is saving me, recommending me to Krishna. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Soham katam nu visvijaye tava bhikshasevam. Madhu told me to save some time. You have to do some cooking. But if there's any questions, we can do some questions now.
Different qualification of disciples, inquiring and serving, and I was always in different places. Prabhupada said that this is main, this is main. But what is actually main for us?
Main service?
Main qualification, main service.
Okay. One way that question was put a few times to Srila Prabhupada is, how can we please you the most? And he said, one time he said by chanting Hare Krishna, and he said by loving Krishna another time. So, the qualification is sincerity. Recently I was writing something and I looked up sincerity in the dictionary. It's such a sterling word, such a good quality. And by seeing the definition of some new aspect of it, I was appreciating. But Anyway, it basically means that you're not duplicitous, that your true feelings, you're acting on true feelings. So,
is that honest endeavor? Is that part of the definition?
Maybe the part that I remember, but it didn't seem so appropriate to say here. It was that part that attracted me was that it said that what your actual feelings were, you showed them. I was a sincere person. But there are other aspects. So yeah, honest endeavor is the point where you may not be perfect, but you're sincere. And who is perfect? Disciple means you're not perfect in need of instruction. But he keeps trying. And so the sincerity is proved by if he appears as a fool, if he's chastised, if he makes a big mistake, if he's given an order that's very difficult, tries and fails, tries again. And so the sincerity is proved. Now that question was asked by Prabhupada's disciple. How can you be sincere? And he said that, how can you be a thief? So the devotee said, how can you be a thief? By stealing? Yes, he said, so you be sincere by acting sincerely. So there are so many things. Sometimes we see an act which has got so much endeavor of a nice kind that we say that this devotee is very sincere. You can count on this devotee. Insincere means that the devotee may say a nice word or offer a flower, but then on repeated occasions doesn't act to try to serve the spiritual master. Your question is, what is it? Is there one quality that is most important in being a disciple? So one may have qualities of being a good book distributor, or being a good scholar, being a good servant of the guru, and so on. And if they must be accompanied with sincerity, that they're not done for another motive. And the person really means them and proves this. Very important. Therefore, we can improve it. Something you can improve on, trying to become more sincere by improving our activities. It's a deep quality. No quality can be imitated. It has to actually, you have to realize it and practice it, and almost, so to speak, not be aware of it yourself. Not that a sincere person is always thinking, I'm sincere. But the spiritual master will see that this person is sincere. Anything else?
If we're not on the level to just ask questions on spiritual topics and guidance like that, and we have material problems, so we need help with that, should we ask the spiritual master these questions?
Yes, we have to, because the material problems are, again, sincere. So the devotee is sincere, wants to serve, is not able to ask so many spiritual questions, perhaps because of being preoccupied with these other things. And so if the devotee is sincere, then the spiritual master will want to help him. But eventually the disciple will realize that my spiritual master is not for solving so many material problems. He's giving me advice of the spiritual way to cure the material problems. Remember when Haridas Thakur went to prison, he said to the prisoners that, I hope you may always be able to stay in this position you're in now. And they're all disappointed in that advice. What they expected from him, I don't know. Maybe they thought he would help them get out of jail or something, that he's a big sadhu, he can get us all out. But then he explained that about material life, being entanglement for repeated birth and death, you've been removed from the society of enjoyment and you're in a position of natural renouncement. Now, if you take advantage of this, you can become devotees. So, in a situation where they wanted material relief, he was a friend to them, but he couldn't give and wasn't interested in giving material relief. But he didn't say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But his relationship was for spiritual. So I think it's like that. And the disciple who's troubled with material problems will know, my guru doesn't reject me, even though I have no great qualifications and I'm always hampered by these problems. But there is a certain level that we have to come to. It's not like Prabhupada, he criticized the Harijan name that Gandhi gave to people. Gandhi would just, as Prabhupada said, rubber stamp all the social outcasts, the untouchables, as servants of God. But he didn't do anything to uplift them. But Prabhupada's program was to uplift them, teach them the four rules and chant 16 rounds. So people who don't do that, well, you could say there's still mercy for them from ISKCON and from the pure devotee, that we give them prasadam, we hold a festival for them, but we can't give them instruction, we can't give them initiation, they can't go on the altar, and so many things you could say that they're barred from, and not because of their race or color or income or anything like that, or social standing, but they haven't purified themselves. So to approach a spiritual master, you have to be on a certain level of sincerity and seriousness, not material education, so on, a certain level of devotion. So if you can't follow the four rules, then that's an act, that's a sign of insincerity. And then how can you keep going to the spiritual master and saying again and again, I still can't give up smoking cigarettes, I still can't give it up. Then you cannot, he can still help you, but you cannot be, what does Prabhupada say in 930 Bhagavad Gita, or 931, he's not a high devotee or something like that. He may still be considered some kind of a devotee because he has a sentiment and conviction for Krishna, but he cannot be considered a high devotee. He's always, if the material problems mean sinful activities. But if you were able to follow the four rules and still you have problems, problems with your mind, problems with other persons, then the spiritual master shouldn't get angry that the students are slow, but neither should he engage them in karmic activity. So what that means for him, he has to keep giving the spiritual instructions again and again. He has to be sincere, and he has to be enthusiastic. My dear disciple, if you'll just take to this process, it will be nice, you'll succeed. I don't have any other instruction to give you, but do it. You see the others, they're becoming successful. You can do it too. Just keep trying. He will give the same instructions according to the level of the disciple. So the disciple, he can either keep asking different questions that come, even though they're not elevated, whatever is necessary, not to ask, not to think it's a fashion to ask elevated questions when actually you're hampered by lower problems. But then one has to work also. When you get a good answer from the spiritual master, then you have to work to practice it and be able to come back and say that I really applied what you said. But now, give some evidence that I have seriously applied what you said, and now, while trying to carry it out, this other problem came up. Could you help me with this? So then that will arouse his interest and concern that, oh, they took my instruction so seriously, but in so doing, this other problem came. Now I instruct you in this. But if you come back and you didn't really seem to follow up on the first instruction, any instructor would be like that, even in the material world. I remember I once had a music teacher when I was a young teenager, but I would never practice during the week. And then he would come, I would even forget my mother or father would say, the music teacher is here. Oh, no, I would be playing with my friends. And then I go into the room with him, I'm supposed to be playing a guitar. And then he'd say, all right, play this. And he could see I hadn't prepared anything. And once he said, you know, if you don't, although it was his way of making money, but he was honest, he said, if you really don't want to do this and you don't want to practice, what's the sense of taking a lesson? So the teacher will get kind of disgusted. But if the student says, if he says, all right, now let me hear you play that piece. And then you say, I've been trying all week. I practice 3 hours a day. I just can't get this one part here. And he'll be, if he's a teacher, he'll be moved. Oh, well, what's the problem? Let me see your fingers, or let me see the instrument. You have to do like this, he'll really get into it. Even though you're slow, because you're trying. There are brilliant students, there are slow students, but a teacher, he has to take care of all the students who are sincere. Yes?
Sometimes it seems like every day has so many parts to it, or you know, our emotions or our mental life. There'll be one difficulty, and in one sense I can analyze it from what I've heard in Krishna consciousness and know what I should do. But sometimes it's like to manage to inquire specifically, you know, how to do this. It's hard for me to choose which one to ask, but it's like there's so many.
Well, there are some things, like you said, that we know what we're supposed to do. We've heard from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. And we may be having a problem on any given day to do that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that when we get an opportunity to inquire from the spiritual master that we have to bring that up. We know what we're supposed to do. So out of all the different things we're struggling with, many of which we know the answers to, but we can't seem to do it right, which ones to inquire about? I think it's kind of things that recur and things that you feel inspired to ask about. If you meditate on the mood of inquiry, then out of the many different things that might be asked or would be better not asked, you'll get a kind of intuition or practice of how to make inquiry that's most relevant for you, and which may also be encouraging to the spiritual master. So it's an art of our own practice, and an art of inquiring. And then you can think of the spiritual master without always having to ask him in person or in letter, but always consulting him, reading his books, consulting him in the heart, to this end, by the super soul. We read that the devotee prays, if I can have any boon, I just want to serve the spiritual master. So he even asks God for that. So we may ask God in the heart, super soul, please inspire me, please you instruct me, you're my guru, Chaitya Guru, how to serve the spiritual master, how to inquire from the spiritual master. Therefore, even without directly inquiring, we're always inquiring. When I was in Belgium, after a class, one devotee said, my spiritual master has taught everything so super clear and excellent that I don't have any inquiries. I said, I don't think that's a good attitude. That it's certainly to your spiritual master's credit that he teaches everything so clear, but you shouldn't feel that I've learned everything and I have nothing else to ask. But you should be inquiring to understand the deep. Have you understood all the deep meanings of what he says, and are you carrying the instructions out? Complete success and so on. Or just, just to want to hear from him repeatedly, so that things become clear like you never knew they were clear before. That they become not just theoretical gyan, but they become big gyan. Okay. So we're going to have another meeting today on 4 o'clock.
Next is a meeting with disciples on December 6, 1992 in Vrindavan.
Part one has 8 verses. I'll sing 4 verses and then start to read the translation, and then another 4.
Alex just went out the town.
Oh, it's the local people.
Yeah. It's a real local.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I thought it
was the local people.
Maybe I'll just say a word. I think you all know Gopinath song, and the song, to put it in our common jargon, this song is like where we're at. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has kindly expressed himself like this as very fallen. And so sometimes we have aspirations for the highest stages, and sometimes we see where we actually are and who we are. And at those truthful times, this is the song, we can see how appropriate this song is. And so we're very thankful that he's expressed it and help us to enter the mood of remorse and depending on Krishna, praying to Krishna to take us out of this stuck position. Okay.
Sarah Gore Gobina. Patali Tomara Maya Nahima Mabala Jana Suni Mala Svadina Nahikaya Gopinath.
O Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, please hear my request. I am a wicked materialist, always addicted to worldly desires, and no good qualities do I possess. O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and therefore I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am now your eternal servant. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitive work. I have fallen into this dark and perilous worldly existence. O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge, and this body of mine is not independent and free from the control of material nature. So these sentiments are just the opposite of our assuming to have different spiritual qualities. Any one of us may think that we have certain spiritual qualities. For example, the qualities mentioned for a spiritual master, that he's Sakshat Hari, the direct representative of Krishna, and so many statements. If you think that you have these, that in itself is a form of pride. Aside from spiritual master, if we were to actually be in a spiritual position, aside from spiritual master, if we were to actually be in the spiritual position, then we would not be attached to material things like we are. We can ask ourselves, do we really do things for the pleasure of Krishna? Like when you pick out your clothes, or when you want to wear nice clothes, is it because you want people to see you in those clothes? Or do you dress for Krishna, like the way the gopis do, dress for Krishna's pleasure? When we think about it, we usually are doing something for our own benefit. And we're so attached to eating and to sleeping. And when those things go on nicely, then we are peaceful. So in so many ways, our tendency towards being frivolous and not wanting to be disturbed, not being centered on Krishna, prove that we don't have the... We're not deeply, like scripture says, about a spiritual master. Samit panik strotriyam brahmanishtam. Spiritual master is tadviri panipatena. No, that's a different verse. Tadvigyanartam sagurum. One should approach a spiritual master who has these qualities in cyclic succession, and brahmanishtam, deeply immersed in Brahman or in Krishna. Then, if in some moments of clarity and remorse we see like this, that we're me-centered rather than centered on Krishna, then what to do? Then what prayers can we make? Then we turn to something like this, to Gopinath. And we shouldn't think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is only doing it like in a benevolent, condescending way for the fallen souls, thinking, of course, I'm not fallen, but I'll write for now and in the future different aspiring devotees, it may be helpful for them. But he's, as Prabhupada has said, they actually feel like this. And this itself is transcendental, to have remorse, to not have exalted spiritual qualities, and on top of it, to not even have remorse about it. Then it's really a hard-hearted position. So this is like breaking up the frozen sea. And it may appear to be, to the materialist, it may appear like depressing sentiments. I remember, you remember our friend Dr. Sharma. Dr. Sharma was a naturopath doctor, and along with the some of the sane and practical things he taught, he also had a kind of, as one devotee put it, a the Hindu Dale Carnegie philosophy of positive thinking and always having a bright attitude towards yourself and towards life. So I associated with him quite closely over the months. And I remember showing him these songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when he saw them, he like recoiled. Oh, no, he said, not that. He said, I don't even want to look at that. And then he heard a tape. Prabhupada was singing a tape in this mood. And he said, you shouldn't listen to that. That'll not be good for you in your recovery. So they think that this is some material depression. But actually, if we can... instead of being foolish and hard-hearted and not having remorse, if we can cry to Gopinath in a hopeless way, we're fortunate. So now we'll do the next four. Somehow I couldn't catch on right away. But maybe I was just nervous. Gopinath Niyata Charanistan Mage e pavara kandiya kandiya koro he karuna dana gobina tumi to sakali paro dujane karite tomara shakake Ache Pavira Aro Govina Tume Kripa Parabara Jivera Karane Ashiya Prapanche Lida Koile Asura Satala Hailo Charana Vinoda Thakilo Boshi Govina Govina. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. Please give him your mercy. O Gopinath, you are able to do anything, and therefore you have the power to deliver all sinners. Who is there that is more of a sinner than myself? O Gopinath, you are the ocean of mercy. Having come into this phenomenal world, you expand your divine pastimes for the sake of fallen souls. O Gopinath, I am so sinful that although all the demons attained your lotus feet, Bhakti Vinod has remained in worldly existence. So, you want to sing now?
Thank you.
we not? Please remove the torment of worldly existence. I can no longer tolerate the pain of ignorance and the repeated successions of births and deaths. O Gopinath, indeed I am a servant of lust. Worldly desires are awakening in my heart, and the noose of fruitive work is beginning to tighten. O Gopinath, when will I wake up and abandon afar this enemy of lust, and when will you manifest yourself in my heart? O Gopinath, I am your devotee, but having abandoned you, and having thus forgotten my real treasure, I have worshipped this mundane world. Oh, Gopinath, you know everything. Now, having punished your servant, please give him a place at your lotus feet. Oh, Gopinath, is this your judgment, that seeing me averse to you, you abandon your servant and don't bestow even a particle of mercy upon him? Oh, Gopinath, I am certainly very foolish, and I have never known what is good for me. Therefore, such is my condition. Oh, Gopinath, you are indeed the wisest person. Please look for a way to bring about auspiciousness for this fool. And please do not consider this servant as an outsider. That's another part that we want. Yeah. I don't have any books we wanted to sing. Some of you may know. Gauranga Bali Te Habi. But it's sing the, I'll sing the lead and we can sing and it's fun. I have a song book and I also happen to have a copy of Prarthana. I can pass that around.
Some always have songs, they wrote songs.
Oh. Okay. Anyone need?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, page 2.
Rakumara Ashram
Sanga Bhavite, Havi Pulaka Sharir, Hari Hari Bhavite, Nayane Vabhinir. When will that opportune moment come to us when there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? While chanting Hare Krishna, when will there be tears in the eyes? Narottam Das Thakur's songs are very personal, so we think of him and his internal mood. We should always try to understand the songs as composed in ecstatic moods by their authors. So when Narottam Das Thakur sang this song, he would be transported to the Gambhira of the place where Lord Chaitanya experienced separation from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this song is written in that mood. Narottam Das Thakur is 100 years after Lord Chaitanya, so he never had his direct audience. But as we read in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya saved his prema in a place, in a tree, and just waiting for this person, Narottam Das Thakur, to come. And then he conferred upon him the prema. So that is, he sings Gauranga. It is Gauranga prema. So what is Gauranga prema? Gauranga prema is what Lord Chaitanya felt. His name is Gauranga is because he is golden. And why is he golden? He is golden because he is, that is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. What is this prayer we sing to Radharani? Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hiribhya. Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi. So the same word is there, Gaurangi and Gauranga. So she is golden, and Gauranga is golden for the same reason that he's Srimati Radharani. So Narottam Das Thakur's mood of thinking of Gauranga and Gauranga Prem is the same as Gauranga, and Gauranga is the same as Srimati Radharani. And what is Srimati Radharani's mood? She is feeling this intense separation from Krishna. And she's always crying, and her intimate friends, her Sakhi friends, they're trying to relieve her, but they cannot relieve her. And these feelings are expressed, this separation, in many places. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read in for a Krishna book, Prabhupada has given us the chapter which was witnessed by Uddhava, the Brahmar Gita, the song of the bumblebee. And there Srimati Radharani was expressing the mood of permanent separation from Krishna. There are other descriptions earlier in the Krishna book, like the song of the flute and the song of the gopis in separation from Krishna, the Gopi Gita, where Radharani or the gopis are missing Krishna for a day, that they miss Krishna when he just is gone during the day, or they miss Krishna like when in the Rasa dance he disappeared. But it wasn't, they knew that sooner or later he'll come back. This is just another mood of his reciprocating with us. And yet they felt his suffering. But when Krishna left forever, when he left Mathura, that intensity is the most extreme, and we can't imagine it. And that's what Lord Chaitanya was feeling in the Gambhira, without any hope that Krishna would return. So Radharani would sometimes lie down to give her some kind of relief. The gopis would prepare a bed of lotus stems, but as soon as she would lie down, they would all wilt from the heat of her body. And sometimes she would be dying, and sometimes she would be reviving. So I cannot speak any more about this, although we could speak the words of the Brahma Gita, but without the qualification for speaking or hearing, we will have to wait. We'll have to wait for that. Like we were saying about talking about Gopinath, if we don't feel remorse for our material attachments, then we have yet to advance. Similarly, if when we do hear these things, if we're not qualified, and we don't hear them properly, then it can even have an adverse effect. Sometimes devotees, the Krishna book is so widely distributed, we read about Radharani talking to the bee, and it almost seems like a novel and curious or maybe amusing to someone how she's telling the bee, don't come to me, don't touch my feet, and I know you're a bad messenger. But these things were not said by her in a jest or something like that, but with the highest stage of spiritual ecstasy called Divyan Mad, or divine madness. But at least we can appreciate that this is the mood of Narottam Das Thakur in singing Gauranga Boli Te Habi. As soon as I chant Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. When will I obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda Chandra? When by his mercy will the desire for material enjoyment become very insignificant? When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. And then my spiritual life will be successful. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami? By their instruction, I shall be able to properly understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Raghunatha Pari Rahu Mora As Prartana Koroye Sada Narottamadas. My only aspiration is to attain the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Narottam Das constantly prays to attain their lotus feet. So, we'll do another one now. Here you go. Okay, we're going to sing Baja Hure Mana. I find the philosophy of this song to be very simple and basic, but there's nothing... pure devotion to Krishna can be expressed in a general and simple way and still be full of intensity and have all the implications of the things we've been discussing, like Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. Wherever pure affection for Krishna is expressed, in pure devotion, it contains the seeds of all the rasas, and these basic themes like disgust and fear of material life, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, desiring to engage oneself fully in bhakti, they are always inspiring. And especially good for any audience. And this is a very nice melody too. So I have the Indian edition, it's page 100, and we can sing this responsibly. Bajahure Mana. Oh, well, it doesn't matter what order. We're going to sing Jai Radhe. Sing that later. Bajahure.
Ajakure mana Shri Nanda Nanda
Ajakure mana Shri Nanda Nanda
Apaya Charanara
Enough words, and I know the I know the translation well enough that even while singing the Sanskrit, you can almost think the disgust that's being described here. Like, what is the good of it? The words like dualabha, we know dur means difficult, a hard struggle, a material life. What's the good of it? Having so many children and working hard and always suffering in the heat and the wind. I want to be through with this. I want to get out of this. And I have to do this life after life. Why have I let myself get into this? Working so hard in the rat race just to get enough money, and there's never enough money, and you always have to work harder, and you work for people who you don't like. And your family members, they're like leeches, they're not devotees. Human life is so rare. It should be for surrendering to Krishna. So, my dear mind, I must do this. And time is running out because I could die at any moment. This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. So, for the first three verses, it's mostly the negative, righteous expressions of disgust and wanting to, renunciation, wanting to be done with all this. And then in the kind of triumphant last stanza, when with joy he expresses his desire to engage in these activities, shravana, kirtana, smarana, vandana, such power-packed activities, so I can do these. Parasevana, dasya, this I should do. And serve the Lord in all these ways. Atmani Vedana Govinda Dasa Abhirasa Re. So this has come down as a favorite song in just a few stanzas. It's the same philosophy that you hear in so many places. But poetry or songs, they put the philosophy into more emotional language and more personal expression. so it captures us, what to speak of in a song too. So we wanted to sing Jaya Radha, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Maybe someone else could sing. Would you like to sing Bhagavati, that song? Bhajanti Mala, do you like to sing? No? Who would like to sing? Bhara? No? I've liked to sing this for many years, even before I was had much attraction for Vrindavan, which sounds like I have attraction for Vrindavan now. I don't. But I used to have even less. Used to be one of those GBC men who came here. Well, first we'd go to Mayapur and have the meetings, and then you'd want to get... You either wouldn't go to Vrindavan, you'd just go right back to America, or come here. I even saw in my diary, the published diary, that I went to Vrindavan, and in one day, by taxi, I went to almost all the holy places. Right. And got back at night, and the next day went to Delhi. But even in those days, I liked to sing this song. It gave you a little taste. And in the old songbook, it had a picture of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Whether he wrote this or some other Krishnadas, I don't know for sure. But that picture was there. And it gave you a little taste of Vrindavan. Now, when you can live here for some time, it should become even nicer. Because all the holy places and personalities are mentioned. If we listen to it attentively, we don't even have to read the translation, because Madhu Mangal is there, Purnamasi is there, Keshigad, Bamshibad, Shamakund, Radhakund, and everyone else that you can think of.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Yeah. Hare Rama.